We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is our gorgeous sister in Christ, Miss Judy Gifford.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm all right, live and well and all that.
Amen. I just love you in purple.
Thank you.
You just look so beautiful in purple. It's my favorite color.
Is it?
Yes.
All right. Did this just for you then.
Yay. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. They don't charge you more. That's great. You're nodding, and I'm like, yeah, that's the right one. No, that's not the right one. If you're in the market for a newer used vehicle, contact Barber Dyson. They can find you what you're looking for. And we do have a new book for the month of June. We're in June, right? Okay, we're in June.
June 3rd?
Second? It's flying by.
Today, second?
Yes, okay. It's flying by. I know, it's like fast forward or something, yeah. And I'm still trying to catch up.
Yeah, me too.
Our book for this month is Hard Sayings by Pastor Joshua West. All you have to do to be entered to get the blessing book for the month of June. Yeah, June. I'm still adjusting to June, y'all. All you have to do is like, share, and comment then, and we'll put you on the paper. I think I covered it all, Sister Judy. Would you please pray to start us out?
Father, we come before you, and we humble ourselves before you, knowing that you are God, knowing that we are nothing and you are everything, Lord, and what we are by any means is because you've bestowed upon us your mercy, your grace, your goodness, life, breath, strength. Everything we have, God, comes from you. Every good gift we have comes from you, Lord. The grass we see, the air we breathe, Father, the food we eat, all of the blessings that you bestow from your word, Lord. We thank you for your word today. I ask that we'll be lifted up, oh God, that we'll be exalted, Lord, that it will be proclaimed today, Lord, that you will use me, God, and Monica and Tina, oh God, that you will use us today for your glory, for the upbuilding of your kingdom, Lord Jesus, today that words might be said that will penetrate hearts that we can't see, people we don't even know that are watching. But God, your word is not void. It goes into what you intended to do, and it accomplishes what you please. And we ask today that the anointing will be upon us, Lord, that your word will go forth, that it will not lack in any way, and that souls will be relieved and touched and helped with the voice of your word today. May they hear it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. I really like your title this morning.
Oh, I love it.
Forgiveness.
Where would we be without it? Where would we be without it?
We'd be on our way to hell.
Yes. It's such a gift. The Bible said it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God that he has given to each one of us that says you're free. You're forgiven. It's like you're restored. The barriers have been removed. When Adam and Eve sinned, a barrier went up. Their nature went from one of glory, which we will be in eternity. We will be right with, you know what I mean? There'll be no sin. There'll be no evil. There'll be no pain. There'll be no, you know, it'll be wonderful. But when man sinned, I mean, the thing changed. God could not fellowship with sin. So he did not. He did come down that one time to talk to him. Adam, where are you? Well, I was hiding. Well, why were you hiding? Because I knew that I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree I told you not to eat of? And the sin entered. The Bible says, "Do I say unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous." Thank God for the new covenant. The old covenant, when Adam and Eve sinned, God came down and he slew an animal. Because the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He shed an innocent animal's blood and covered Adam and Eve then. And everything that he set up in the old covenant, because there was an old covenant, and then God recreated a new covenant. With the old covenant, there had to be sacrifice. Something had to die for people's mm-hmm. sin. And so they had to bring a sacrifice offering. They had to bring a lamb. I'm not sure. I know there were other kinds of sacrifices, and I was studying a little bit today about it, but I don't really know enough about it to talk about all the different sacrifices. I really need, it would be a fun study to study and what they had to give. I know there was a praise sacrifice. There were just different kinds of sacrifices that they could give. But the lamb was the sin offering. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Had to have a covering. Had to have something or everybody would die, because God is just and God is good and God keeps his word. So we see that God provided in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, he provided a way that man could still be in relationship with him, looking for the day that there would come a day in the fullness of time that Jesus Christ would come and he would become that supreme sacrifice to cover those sins. Sin is a pretty big deal. Sin is really a big deal. It is something sometimes we'll cover over and we don't want to confess. We don't want people to know. We don't want to do it, but then our human nature, we fall into it. And the Bible says this, there's not one righteous, no, not one. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I can't look at Monica and say, shame on you, Monica, for your sin. I can't look at the mote in your eye and not realize there's a beam in my own eye, because the Bible says we're on level ground here. We're on the same ground. All have sinned. So all needs a covering. All needs to be forgiven. Every one of us need cleansing. We need forgiveness. We need help. And in the old covenant, God realized that there were some things missing in the old covenant. The laws were good. The laws were right. The God, if you look at Psalms 19 and you look at the laws and it talks about the law of God, it's wonderful what it says the law of God does. Psalms 19, if anybody wants to look there and turn there in your Bible with me, it says Psalms 19 verses, let me find it here. Verses 7, it starts with verse 7. The law, the first covenant. The first covenant is a law. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Those laws are right. And if you can obey those laws, they rejoice your heart. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening our eye. It gives us understanding. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, and it endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More, I love this part. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. They're telling us now to invest in gold because it's something that will last when the money wears out. But the Bible says that these promises are better than fine gold. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. Wow, there's warning in these scriptures. And in keeping of these scriptures, there's great reward. Now, we've got one problem in the Old Testament. Nobody could live it. And so God created a better covenant. The Bible says with better promises. And it's the promise that the one day the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world would come. He would die for our sins. And all we have to do is realize that when he died for us, that he came to cover our sins, that he is the Lamb of God that gave his self for the sins of the world. And then this scripture says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, and you know what? That is a very important part of receiving forgiveness, is confessing our sins, not hiding it. The Bible says, he that hideth iniquity in his heart, he that regardeth iniquity in his heart. I think what that means is that we just keep it there. We just allow it to stay. We just let the iniquity stay in our heart, the bitterness, the hate, the resentment. If you look in the Don Stamps Bible, right in the middle of it, it will list, and it's listed in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And what are the works of the flesh? If, let me look at it real quick. I hadn't intended to talk about that, but it's Galatians 5. And Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians.
God eats pizza constantly.
What? Okay, Galatians chapter 5 here. Okay, it says, it's talking about standing fast in the liberty where Christ has made us free. And I don't have this one marked here, but it says, for the lust of, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, under the law, it was a whole different covenant. This is a new covenant that we're got, and we're walking in the Spirit through the blood of the Lamb. And he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Now, so they're pretty evident. You can say, am I walking in the flesh? Am I holding unforgiveness? Have I asked forgiveness for these things? You think, well, I don't have to ask forgiveness. Yeah, you do. You have to ask forgiveness for these things. It says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Somebody pretty much knows if they've committed adultery or not. If you don't know, if you've been out in the world and you're just doing whatever feels good and whatever you want to, and you say, well, that's not wrong. If you're shacking up with somebody and you're saying, oh, it's okay, we love each other. So you're not following God's law. It's called adultery. And it says, so these are the works of the flesh. This is how we know. It's so good that we have a checklist to know so that we can run to this covenant. It's a covenant of forgiveness that God's created, a brand new covenant through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it's established on better promises. What does he say? If we confess our sins, we don't have to go take a lamb and go to the priest or the preacher and have them kill that lamb to cover our sins. What do? We call. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a better covenant. All I have to do is call. All I have to do, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. Let me say that there's a rise of, I've heard that there's a rise of witchcraft now. You see it much on TV. Things are thrown at you. I don't know what other people think about it, but I see Harry Potter as a witchcraft thing. There's much of that, even advertising things that you can order to bring witchcraft into your home. Stay away from it. I think it's better to stay away from Disney and all those kind of TV programs. I watch some people and they turn their TV off. They just keep it off. And that's really going to be better in the long run. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, or anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, which means, you know, arguments, heresies, which is false doctrine, is not truth, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in times past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound really rude, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me, but I can't see that walking an aisle at 5 years old or 15 or 20 and one time committing yourself to the Lord, but then going out and living like you want to live. And you say, well, I'm saved. I walked an aisle. No, you're not. Here's why I say you're not. And you can call me everything you want to. This is just my opinion, okay? But it's my opinion from what I see in the Word here. It says, but those who do these things, those who do these things. Do we do these things? will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit is, do we have the Spirit in our life? Check yourself. Is there love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Against there is such things. There's no law. There's no even law that covers that. Law can't even touch it. You know why it's so far above the law? It's because we're living in the Spirit. It's not thou shalt do. It's you can have. So come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your soul. It's not about all the laws and things we have to do for God. It's about coming and living in Jesus and resting in him and letting him live in you. And when we sin, the Bible says, I say to you, little children, don't sin. But if you do, because he kind of knows our human nature. He knows our human nature is to foul up. But he made a way. There's another promise. There's another promise in this new covenant. If you do, if you sin, then come to me. You have an advocate. You have someone pleading to God for you. And it's Jesus Christ the righteous. So if you'll go to Jesus Christ, whatever the sin is, if it's any of these that was just listed, or if it's something different, guess what? You got a standing invitation. Come boldly before my throne of grace, that you may find grace and mercy to help you in time of need. And in that grace and mercy, it's called forgiveness. The 23rd Psalm says, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It didn't say there wouldn't be an enemy. It didn't say he wouldn't come to hang around. It says in the midst of that, God's going to take care of me, and he's going to feed me, and he's going to come out. And it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I know him. Because I'm walking with him. Because I've grabbed a hold of that new covenant. He's promising I've grabbed that forgiveness. Not that I'm worthy of it. I'm not worthy of it. You know what? I'm sinned. But so did you and you and you and you. We all did. But that covenant is there. So why let it be? God said, I've made a marriage covenant with you. And he likens our relation to him to a husband and a wife. And he calls us his bride. And he's coming to get his bride. That's another one of the promises. He's going to come and get us and take us with him. And we're so anxiously awaiting that day that he's going to come and he's going to take us to himself. And he's going to say, look what I prepared for you. Tina, you were faithful. You were faithful to me. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to my home is your home. My home. Mi casa es su casa. My home is your home. I said that to a man when we were a pastor, we were visiting, and I was showing off a little bit that I could speak Spanish. And I was wanting to say, you're welcome to my home in America. And I said, in America, mi casa es su casa. And he goes, so give me the keys. But Jesus is going to say, mi casa es su casa. Come on in, baby girl. Come on in, my son. Come on in, my child. Good and faithful servant. He says, you've been faithful over a few things. Now, it didn't feel like a few to me. If I like many, what, didn't it feel like that? That you got many troubles to overcome. The Bible says, he who overcometh shall inherit the kingdom of God. If he says he who overcometh, that means we got something we got to overcome. If there's a hurdle there in my way, I got to overcome that thing. How am I going to overcome it? I'm going to go back to the blood of the Lamb and say, okay, look here, Lord. There's a block. I don't know what it is. First, I'm going to search my heart. Where have I sinned? I always go back there. I always go back to repentance. When there's some kind of a block between me and God. Because the Bible says again, all have sinned. And there's times I can sin and be so upset with something that I'm not even aware I'm sinning. Not even aware that, or somebody has sinned in front of me and I think it's normal. One little child says, why does... your husband live with you? Or why does Papa, it's one of my grandkids, said, why does Papa live with you? Well, he hadn't seen, he was like, why? He didn't understand. And some our concepts are so different, and sometimes we don't know up from down and from sickle. But you know what? We go back to the Word, and we go back to searching our heart, and we go back to saying, okay, God, I don't understand this. And there's a lot of things I don't understand, but I have to take my faith. Monica came to me, and she'll never know how much she helped me when you came to my house, and God had told her to come and speak to me, and she thought she was correcting me. And so she was so scared to come and correct me. What she was doing was giving me faith, and she didn't realize it. But the Lord said, and when she finally could get it, the message to me, what did you say? Do you remember? Are you walking by your faith?
Are you walking by feelings or by faith?
Yes. Are you walking by your feels?
Yeah. Are you walking by your feels or
by faith?
By faith.
And it so encouraged me, because there was things, if I was going to walk by my feels, that I wasn't going to do. Mm-hmm. But if I was going to walk by my faith, I'm going to get up and take some action. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to walk by my faith. What does this say? You know, it says to walk by faith, not by sight. So I walked by faith, and God brought to pass part of what I was concerned about. It all worked out. It was fun. God did a beautiful thing. I don't know if Monica hadn't obeyed the Lord, if I would have had the courage to stand. Because, see, we all have opposition.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I felt like it was, if that was a word for me, I would have taken it as a correction because of who I am,
uh-huh,
and my past, uh-huh, my history. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And so when I heard that word, I was afraid.
Right.
Because to me, it felt like a correction. Uh-huh. So how many times do we not speak a word
to someone
because of our feels?
Our concept of it.
Yes.
Right.
How it.
Right.
And I honestly didn't know how I was going to, you know,
present it.
But I knew that it had to be, because the feeling inside, you know, the Holy Spirit inside me, uh-huh, was like, this
right
needs to be said.
Right. And it's like pull me into straight into faith on it. Well, I have a choice. Am I going to walk by my feeling and let someone discourage me, or words discourage me, or people or circumstance discourage me? Or I'm going to believe what I believe God wants me to do and stand over here in faith and say, God, I don't understand all of it, but this hurdle, I'm trusting you. You bring it down. Lord, if there's sin in me, mm-hmm, correct me. I love that. David did that, and David did sin. He put some pretty stout sin in there. And he goes back when it took for him to come to it, like, you know, I need, something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. What is it? And so God, I love this about God. He's not ashamed or afraid. He's not to approach you and say, here's the truth. Here's the way. Walk ye in it. And that's what he did to David in Psalms 51. This is David's response to what the prophet told him. The prophet went up to him, and the prophet said, he told him a story about a situation that was so wrong. It was actually a made up situation, but he was letting him know his own sin. And he said, you know what? There was this guy, and this guy had one little lamb, and he loved this lamb, and he held it in his bosom, and it ate off his plate. And his family loved this little lamb, and he only had one. And there's this wealthy man that lived right by him. And this wealthy man had hundreds of lambs. And this wealthy man had guests come to his house. And the custom then was, if you have guests, you go slaughter a lamb and you cook for them. And that's, mm-hmm, they didn't have refrigeration all like we do. So they it was on the hoof, you know. And so they went and slaughtered the lamb and cooked. Well, instead of taking one of his hundreds and hundreds of sheep, he goes over and gets this guy's one sheep and slaughters it and feeds his people with it. And it made David, that story made David so angry that David's like, who is the man? Bring him here. He'll pay. And he goes, thou art the man. What'd I do? Sometimes we need to say, oh God, search me, oh God, and know my heart. Because somehow he had justified that. His king, somehow in his mind, he had justified it. He'd committed adultery. And then he tried to get the man to go back to his wife so he'd think the baby was his when she became pregnant. The man was so loyal, he wouldn't even go. He slept in the doorway of the king's palace somewhere there and would not go. And he said, go sleep with your wife, man. He said, and he tried to get him drunk and make him go sleep with his wife. And he was such a loyal guy that he would not even. He said, how can I go have pleasure and sleep with my wife when the armies of God are out sleeping in the field? And he wouldn't do it. So David just wrote a letter and said, put him up front in the battle. And when the battle gets hot and heavy, pull back from him. In other words, murder him. Let him die. Don't protect him. And he gave him, sealed the letter, and gave it to the man to carry his death sentence to the other guy. And he didn't even look at it. He was so loyal. And he handed it to him. And then, and David, and you say, well, David could say, somehow he goes, well, I didn't kill him. I didn't put my hand against him. I didn't do it. And that was an accident. I really shouldn't have done that. Kind of sorry shouldn't have done that. But I didn't, and all of a sudden, God brought it all together. David, you're the man. You did it. And I love David's response. And God called him a man after his own heart. Why? Because he was quick to repent when he realized what he had done. And here's what he says after God pointed it out to him. He says, purge me with hyssop. Oh, well, let me go on up. Let me just start here at the top. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. I think maybe he did sin against Uriah. He took his life. He sins against Bathsheba. And he sinned against the nation and leading them in a bad example. But mostly he sinned against God. That's where our sin is really. Even though other people are looking on to our lives, our sin is against God. Because he expects holiness out of us. And he says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil. He realized he had done evil. I did this evil in your sight, and that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Because he's being judged by God. And said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. And in sin, my mother, it's kind of almost an excuse, but he's explained it to God. I am a sinful man, Lord. I was brought forth in sin. My mama was in sin when she conceived me. And behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden parts, you make me to know wisdom. And then I love this part. Verse 7 says, purge me with hyssop. I don't know what hyssop was. It was a cleaning agent back then. But he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Don't you know when you sin? What happens to you when you sin is you hear guilt and fear. It opens the door to the enemy to come and harass you. And he's saying, oh, Lord, take that away. Take the harassment, the fear, the hate, the resentment. Take all that away, Lord, and restore. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you've broken may rejoice. He felt so much like his bones were broken. His sin broke him up so much. He said, hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquity. There's such thing as a sin and there's such thing as iniquity. And I need to study that out and know the difference there. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, I love this. I've said this so many times to the Lord. And read this so many times to the Lord. Create in me. Lord, it's not there. You've got to create it, Lord. My goodness isn't there. You've got to put it there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, see, this is not a person that is already, this is not a sinner who did not know God. This is a Christian who's walked with God, who loved God, who has sinned. And what does he do? He repents. And I just say, no matter what's going on in your life, don't be afraid to go back and repent. You're not maybe, quote, getting born again all over again. I heard someone saying that yesterday. Well, you don't have to get born again twice. I don't care what kind of twist you want to put with it. Repent. Just ask God to forgive you. You need a clean heart. If you've cussed, if you've gotten angry without cause, if you've done just whatever it could be, you just say, Lord, take this resentment from me. And a big one is on forgiveness is not just God forgiving us. It's us forgiving others. Because who is it here that hadn't been offended? Who is it here that somebody has not done wrong to? Who is it that's made it to the first grade without somebody jerking your chain wrong or being cruel or hateful. I went to my first grade class, little happy seven-year-old, because they didn't have kindergarten back then at that town I was in. Sat there in class, and the class had started. I was so thrilled. I mean, we hadn't even read anything. We haven't even studied anything. Hadn't done anything. And my teacher looked at me, and it still hurts my heart today. She looked at me in that it was embarrassing to me. She humiliated me, and she looked at me, and she said, "Judy, come here." Me? Yeah. "You come here." And she made me bend over. I had a dress on. And she made me bend over in front of the whole class, and she took a board, and she busted me. I still don't know what I did. I must have talked when she'd said, "Be quiet." But so were other people. But somehow she chose me. So what do I have to do? You know, I use that as an example just to say there's none of us, even starting as a child, that hasn't had. I've had a good life. But still, there's things that I have to forgive somebody. One time a lady told something that was absolutely untrue. I look back and as I'm older and say, well, I can see how she could get all confused and twisted on that. But at the time, I couldn't. And at the time, I started avoiding her. I left her totally 100% alone. And guess what happened? I was in the church praying, and the Lord nailed me. And the Lord said, "You hate her, don't you, Judy?" And he loved me too much to let me carry around this. What did I need to do? I need to bring that to him and rectify this before him. Him and him only. Him. I didn't need to go to her. She didn't even know I hated her. And she knew she, and I don't know why she lied against me. I don't know her purposes. I don't know if she really thought I did whatever. I don't know. But the thing of it is, the point I'm making here is that we come before the Lord, and that anger and that upset I needed to release to the Lord against her and for her. And so when I did that, here's my words. Yeah, I do, Lord. But I don't want to. I don't want to hate her. Would you take it out of my heart? Because I didn't know what to do with it. What do you do with something like that? What do? You carry it around and let it harass you? You carry it around and avoid her? You carry it around? Do I walk up and slap her? Do I approach her and say, "You big fat liar? What'd you lie against me for?" Well, what good would that have done? It would have done one thing. But what I did is, God, he brought it to me, just like Nathan brought it to David. Nathan brought it to David. You sinned, and the Lord brought it to me. You hate her. And I'm going, "Yeah, I do, but I don't want to. Would you take it?" And instantly, that just went zip out of me, and a love for that woman came into my heart. And the next time I saw her, which was on Sunday, I ran up and hugged her, and she looked like, "Whoa, what happened to you?" You know, because I had been treating her cold. And she deserved it in the right. You know what I mean? She deserved to be treated cold. But you know what? Jesus made the difference because I was able to respond to him. And for his sake and my sake and our relationship, I made that thing right. And when I gave it up, then I could have a right relationship with her, even though she had done wrong. And I think that's where a lot of us sit. We sit with that unforgiveness in our heart, and we react to different people, and then it just builds up, and then we're angry, and then we spew over on people who didn't do anything wrong because we're angry at this one over here who did us wrong. And our guys come home, and they're frustrated from work, and they come home, and they spew on their wife, and they're sorry. Though they're sorry, but they already said it. Now she's mad, and it just causes all kinds of strife and stuff. When if we could just go to Jesus and say, "Lord,